Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. I say everybody, but you're just you listening wherever you're listening. Really glad that you are joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. Hello,
hey.
Alice and Mylon.
Hey, hi, everybody listening.
Always fun to be with the two of you.
Mm-hmm. We get to laugh a lot during the break and before and after the show.
Yeah, we crack ourselves up, don't we?
You do.
So I was thinking that a lot of people that listen to us, they do believe that there is a process of growth, mm-hmm. that there are people that have studied kind of the resisting parts of us or the damaged or traumatized parts of us that have insight into that. And we kind of take it for granted that everybody is in that place, but there are people that aren't there. And a lot of our folks that listen, they hear confusing things from other folks that believe, well, everybody could just be instantly healed of whatever struggle is out there, whatever it is that they're struggling with. And, you know, when I hear that, I think, well, wow, that person is kind of putting down every university that's a Christian university that's got Christian counseling going on, or they're putting down all these people that feel, well, like you two, feel called to help other people, or like me, they just feel like that's what I want to do, help people transform their lives. And it's not easy. It's a process. And I feel for folks, because it's confusing when you hear folks say, hey, maybe get some help, and you hear someone else say, well, maybe a little more Bible, a little more prayer, everything's going to be okay. What do you guys think?
I think good therapeutic help includes all of the above.
Yeah.
I love a good miracle healing and believe that they truly can happen as much as the next guy. And in the meantime, God gave us so many other relational things to do from the Bible that are part of that healing process. So when I'm doing therapy, it's really the application of those principles of confessing to one another, of forgiving, of repenting. It's putting that into practice. And even good secular therapy is actually based on biblical principles.
Well, you know, what I feel badly about is someone of that ilk could be raising a child that has experienced some kind of trauma, and there are child trauma specialists that could help that child get beyond that, and yet they're not going to seek out that resource. That's sad to me.
You know, we are creatures created by the Lord, and we have different aspects to us. We have a mind, soul, spirit, a body. We have a physicality. And so to your point, Alice, you know, we have instances in the Bible of instantaneous physical healing, and that those take place, and they were to evidence the words of the people that were testifying about Christ. That's possible to, boom, in a second, those things happened. Now, characterological, spiritual, emotional growth doesn't happen instantaneously. We have to earn our way into those places of maturity and growth and change. Kay and I were not secure connectors once upon a time. We were very insecure and broken. But we earned our way into a secure connection because we did the right work the right way. And so we have to differentiate between what could be a physical phenomenon versus what is emotional and spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're two different processes. They really,
really
are.
Glad you guys figured that out, because as a result, a lot of people have gotten help from you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Let's go to the phones. We always love talking to people, and are really glad that Danielle has called from Newark, New Jersey, and she watches on the New Life YouTube channel, New Life Live. Let's go to her. Danielle, how are you today, and what is happening in your life that we might be able to help you with?
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've had a problem struggling with obsessive thoughts throughout my life.
Okay.
And they're very disturbing, mainly like lustful or blasphemous thoughts. And I was able to get freedom for a very long time. And then just recently, I guess just because of like, events that had happened, I just went back into them or they came back, and I've been having a struggle like just getting free of them again.
Okay. And when did they start? These thoughts?
Probably about 20 years ago.
20 years ago. And, of course, the obvious question is, was there something that had kind of been creeping up on you that you hadn't dealt with, or was there some kind of traumatic thing that was obvious or something that maybe you weren't quite aware of as you look back that might be a reaction to something, anything like that you can think of?
Yeah, just like a long history of abuse, sexual abuse, trauma, psychological abuse.
And where did that come from?
Just growing up.
Who was the source of that?
There were many perpetrators, like throughout my life.
Oh my goodness!
Growing up.
I am so sorry.
Thank you. The youngest was from about 3 and to 16, and then I was abused by a family member as well. And so, there's just a lot of abuse growing up, sexual abuse, a lot of emotional, psychological abuse.
Danielle, tell us about the kind of treatment you've received for that.
I was in counseling for a long time. I've been in counseling, like pastoral counseling. I went to 12-step groups, working the steps. I've gone to, gone to church. I had a lot of like spiritual healing and emotional healing, like you said, for a long time. But this was something that just kind of creeped up again. And
so have you mainly taken that spiritual side of the approach? Have you also gotten psychiatric assistance?
Yeah, I have. Yes, I have.
And are you currently seeing a clinician, and are you taking medication for anxiety?
I am seeing a clinician, but I was taking medication for anxiety and depression. But then I guess I just stopped taking it just because of, the stigma of taking medicine, being a Christian, and kind of like the shame that went along with that for me. Like, maybe that wasn't something that I needed. I just needed to, like, have more faith in God or pray more or just, have a stronger faith.
Was the medication helping?
Oh, yeah, it definitely was helping. It was helping.
We understand that struggle with the stereotype of medication, and yet you are talking to three people who all have and are taking medication because we know it helps.
Thank you.
And so,
thank you for that. I appreciate appreciated.
Yes, ma'am. I take Zoloft for my anxiety, and it's an antidepressant, and it works very well to help calm my brain. Because as you probably well know, when we've gone through the level of trauma, my goodness, Danielle, that you have, some things get hardwired into our brain and our nervous system. And medication is a great treatment for that. And yet, of course, people do have a lot of negative things to say about medication. But Danielle, I'm a better wife, a better mother, I'm a better Christian when I'm taking medication. And I also go off and on because I would prefer to live life without it. But generally, I come back to I do better with it. I also want you to consider the spiritual warfare approach, because you got a lot of fiery darts from the enemy coming at you regularly. And the way to vanquish those fiery darts is to fight with Scripture, to put on that armor of God and to do it regularly, and to keep bringing them to the surface, sharing them with compassionate people who can love you through it, who can help be a prayer support to you also.
Mylon, you have a thought here?
Thank you.
Danielle? You were amused at Alice's report. You kind of chuckled. What made you chuckle at what Alice said? You said thank you, and you kind of chuckled. What was amusing there?
I guess because I compare myself to other Christians, and I see other people like as super spiritual, like saints of God, like you guys, and or just people in general, and you know, just to hear that, I really appreciate that vulnerability and transparency, because I feel like a lot of times people in the church can't be real and really share the struggles they're going through, because they'll be judged or there'll be like a shame connected to it.
You know, Danielle, that may be part of the problem that you're facing, and people who have been abused tend to be hypervigilant in terms of observing other people, and they're hypervigilant to be aware of their surroundings, and they compare. They're trying to predict their own levels of security through, as a child, learning to observe and try to predict what's going to happen next. But it can put you into the trap of saying, well, these people appear to be super spiritual, or what I see on Sunday or at Bible study, you know, I see something there, but it, and then when you compare yourself, that can be one of the worst things we could possibly do, because we really don't know that person. You're seeing a public presentation of that person. You don't know what it's like for them behind closed doors.
Right.
So you really do need very much to just deal with yourself. And Alice asked you the million-dollar question, did you feel better when you're on medication? And the answer was yes. And I think if you hear anything here today on the radio from us, it would be the importance of vulnerability and transparency to save people like we are. And then number two, to maybe reconsider going back on your medication.
So maybe we could stigmatize people that find a source, you know, like, and then they get off.
Let's do a reverse stigmatization here.
And then, but look. Here's the thing. When you find something that works, and then you decide, for whatever reason, I'd like to try it, not taking that, well, that's okay, you know, because maybe you don't need it. But you've proved that you do, and so just go back on it. That's what I would say. Just go back.
Okay.
And you're not going back forever. You can try again without it. But I got to tell you, I've done the exact same thing. I've thought, you know, maybe I don't need this. But the combination of two medications that I take really helped me function with attention deficit disorder so much better than without them. And it's so effective that my wife will ask me, have you forgotten medication? So yeah, it's pretty obvious. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it, and I hope you will too. Let me send you a copy of, well, let me send you the Life Recovery Bible. So many people love this Bible. In fact, right after the Every Man's Bible, which is the number one best-selling study Bible, adult study Bible in March, well, there was Life Recovery right under it. in March. And that was the same thing in all of 2021. I think you're going to like it. Let's go back to the calls here. And how about we talk to Jennifer, Plano, Texas. And she listens to us on the internet. There's nothing Plano about Plano. How you doing?
Hi, I'm glad you took my call.
Sure, what's going on?
How can we help you? That I need help. My husband died in 2017. And I lost my vision the same year that
my goodness.
He died. And I miss him so much. I was married before and divorced, and that relationship was a lot of abuse.
Mm.
A lot of abuse. Sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. And I never trusted anyone. I had put up a wall so high that I would not love again or love a man again. I just would not get myself. But my husband of 6 years, he wooed me and he won me. He was able to break down the walls that I had built up.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you cannot put all men in one barrel.
Right.
And I said, so I grew to love him much, much. And when we got married, the next year on my wedding anniversary, he died.
Mm.
And then 2 months after, I lost my vision because I was so depressed and lots of crying and rubbing of the eyes, and I wouldn't reach out to no one. I bottled up everything inside, and I still think that I have that bottled up inside. That first, I don't know if I have forgiven my children's father, the first husband, totally. And for me losing my husband like that, the one who I really truly fell in love with, and losing him like that, I don't know, you know, like, if I've forgiven my first husband, but I know I do miss my second husband. And, well, of course, I'm grieving also for my eyes because I live with my daughter, and I'm bottled up inside. So,
what is the question then for us? What could we help you with? I feel so sad for you that you found this wonderful man and then he was gone. But how could we help?
Well, the help that I'm looking for is like, how do you overcome unforgiveness and grief in one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my question. How do you, as a Christian, I know about forgiveness, and but I want to know, have I forgiven, and how do I go through this grief of just bottling up everything inside and not talking?
Well, I want to ask you
to people outside.
Okay, I want to ask you a question about this previous husband. When you think about the damage that he did, what is it would summarize? What did he take from you? What was it that he destroyed in you? Can you think of an answer to that?
What comes to my mind is that I was robbed as a wife, as a mother.
Yes.
I was robbed. I was not given that opportunity.
Yes.
You know, we got married, and the marriage only lasted for 10 years because he had a younger girl to break up our home. She's just 7 years older than my daughter, and that stuck with me for a long while. And then the abuse, the verbal abuse, the sexual abuse, and the physical abuse going through those years.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about that, because it's so well said that you feel like you were robbed, wife and the mother. I want to talk to you about that and how that relates to both issues that you're dealing with, and I'm so sorry for your loss. We'll take a break and come right back. If you need help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There are people waiting for a phone call from you right there, right now, because they want to help. They got up this morning, they came to work to help transform lives. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking about loss and getting over that loss and forgiveness. Jennifer was, as she said, robbed of the wife, the mother, by this previous husband, and then her second husband has died. Jennifer, I think that sometimes we're told to forgive, and it feels like it's impossible to get there. And for a lot of people, the stepping stone to forgiveness is grieving what was taken from us, grieving that loss. And so if you were to enter a grieving process, and I'm going to send you Emotional Freedom Workbook, a Life Recovery Bible, and then there's a workbook with Life Recovery that takes you through the 12 steps grieving. But if you were able to grieve that loss just as if it was a life that is gone, then once we grieve the loss, we can accept the reality, we can embrace the reality, and then it's easier for us to let it all go. That's where I think the work might be done. We're also doing a brand new workshop on grief called Transforming Grief, and I'm going to be sure you get a scholarship to that if you'll join us for it. Mylon, you have some thoughts here about what she's going through.
Well, I was going to echo, actually I was going to say, but now I'm going to echo what you said because you already said it. But I would add one thing to that, Jennifer. For you to be in a group with other people that are grieving,
yes,
also is, mm-hmm, very important, that you, yeah, come to a place, because you said, I hold it all in. And it's important to bring our grief into community, to bring, and a part of grief is anger, and a part of grief is circling through grief and anger, grief and anger, grief and anger, and a great grief recovery group is going to be a bunch of people that can both get angry and vent and support one another as we protest being robbed. But then after we protest and we cycle through these multiple times and we can grieve together and have someone next to me that comforts me and I can see that they care about my loss and then I care about their losses, that is a very healing and restorative process. So I really encourage you to get into a place where you can be with people and you can feel their support.
Alice, you have a thought here?
Jennifer, do you regret having married your second husband?
No. He's the one that I loved. He showed me love. He showed me how to be a wife, mm-hmm, and how to be myself, mm-hmm, and not go through the sexual abuse and,
I was
the
hoping,
verbal abuse.
I was hoping that would be your answer. And I think when we are in good, healthy relationship, we get to experience a piece of God through that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the world has taught, mm-hmm, you to protect yourself from relationship, but your second husband showed you that relationship can be life-giving.
Yes.
And so it is time to risk again, but to risk with the right kind of compassionate people.
Right.
I think I heard you say that you don't even share with your daughter with whom you live, mm-hmm, what you're feeling, and you probably, mm, have good reason for that. But God's best healing tends to come through the compassion we receive from other people. And a litmus test as to whether or not you have forgiven your first husband, I think it comes through Matthew 5:44, when we're told to bless those who curse us and pray for our enemies. And I do this with my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I have them check their heart and consider, can I bless that perpetrator? Can I pray that God would give them good things in their life? And as for a time we have to say, no, that's the last thing I want to pray for, well, then there is understandable unforgiveness in my heart. And so as we can honestly tell God, I can't freely do what you're asking me to do, Lord, but I give you permission to come in and do the heart change work. That, in addition, Jennifer, to telling the painful stories of what we have been through, tends to soften our heart to the point where we can say, I may never want to be in that person's presence because they're not safe, but I can say, Lord, bless them. Mm-hmm. And then my heart has come to a place of better forgiveness.
Okay, so I'm hoping that you will hang on here and let us get you to our grieving workshop. It's called Transforming Grief, where grief can help us to transform, but also we transform that grief into something that will benefit you versus destroy you. And that's going to be coming up in May. We'll tell you, well, it's May 7th, and so I want you to join us for that. Emotional Freedom is online, and that is April 30th, and you get the early bird special if you register for before April 15th, and then Every Man's Battle is April the 8th. I just hope and pray that if you're struggling, you'd let us help you in one of these great workshops, one of these great intensives. It really can change everything. Let's go to Linda, Dallas, Texas. Well, Linda, just hold on. There's that music. We'll get to you right after this. If you are to, well, if you want to support this ministry, this is the last day we're going to be offering Dr. Daniel Amen's Conquer Worry and Anxiety. That's a gift. Here's another gift. Free, I can send you our 10 tips on conquering worry and anxiety. 10 scriptures that will help you overcome worry. Because God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to be at peace. But many of us think, yeah, but I still need to worry about my kids, or I still need to worry about all these other things. And you can be free of that. We'd like to help you. So we have Dr. Amen's book, Conquering Worry and Anxiety, and 10 tips and scriptures for worry.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Linda, I said I would go to you, and that's exactly what we're going to do here. And welcome to New Life Live. Happy that you listen to us in Dallas on KWRD. How could we help today?
Well, thank you so much for taking the call, and God bless you guys for what you do. It's phenomenal, and I love your ministry and the transparency that each of you bring to the plate. It's given me the courage to call today.
Thank you.
I listen every day at lunch snacking. I'm like, are you going to keep snacking and listening, or are you going to do something about your problem?
I love hearing that you do that at lunch. You know, one person had a hard time getting reception, and he would pull up to the aluminum recycling bin and it seemed to work as a external antenna on his car. But anyway, we love those stories. That is true. So how can we help today?
Whatever works.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, here's the thing. So I am calling because I want the courage. I'm praying to God, and he's like, well, move your feet. So I need the courage to finally distanced myself from the living conditions with my 36-year-old son.
Okay.
I need to break away. Yeah.
Mm. So, why are you living there now?
Well, he's living with me, actually.
Okay, so, and why is he living with you?
Well, I guess in a nutshell, he was very self-sufficient early on in his life. At an early age, he turned pro. He was a professional skateboarder at 17. Mm. He had shoes, skateboards, all sources of sponsors. He bought his first home in Long Beach at 18.
Wow.
Was doing exceptionally well, and I don't know what happened in the process of all of that fame so quickly that he got overnight, seemingly, really, and coping with the responsibility and the accountability that came with the various sponsors showing up on time, great work ethic, the filmers, they all loved him. But I guess somehow it took a toll. I don't know if he started drugs. I don't know what failed, but it started crumbling just as fast as the rocket shot up, right? So then, of course, the sponsors started falling off one by one. They loved him, but they just couldn't have the liability anymore with travel, etc.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He's been living with me ever since, really.
And Linda, what is he doing with his life now?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He hasn't had a job since then. He can't let go of his former life.
Yeah.
He tried. He was working at a restaurant. He saw himself on video footage on, you know, the big sports bar, and he saw himself, you know, and just really felt so embarrassed with cleaning tables. He stopped that job. So he's in the room all day. He's depressed. I go to work every day. I come home. He's still where he was, you know. And I don't know what to do, but he's starting to be abusive verbally and mean. And I just don't deserve that. You know, it's very painful.
Well, plus, you must not allow that to happen. You must expect that he's going to be respectful, that he's going to be responsible, that he's going to get up and go to work. But also, I think the longer he goes without starting the chapter two that can be, he's just going to be stuck there in between living a dream and then stuck in a nightmare because he hasn't moved on to chapter two. He needs some help in developing that plan that can be more fabulous than even that rare dream that he was living. Mylan, you have some thoughts there. I see you're writing some things. What are you thinking could be helpful here for her?
Well, he didn't have to do anything, Linda, to have his original success at 17 years old as a pro skateboarder. He basically could stay a kid and make all the money he wanted and buy that house in Long Beach. So for him to lose it all and to ultimately, what success does is it adds pressure to our lives. And somehow he collapsed under that pressure, which means he didn't have the internal wherewithal to hold himself up in that very privileged and earned position that he did earn it. I mean, he had to have been good. But Steve's right. You can't tolerate, and I'm going to guess this has been going on for 15 more years, that he has been for 15 years just sitting in alone, isolated, and that's not going to work. Steve's right. You have to put an ultimatum out, and you said something at the very beginning that was great. I need the courage to insist that he do something differently. What within you lacks courage? In what other ways have you lacked courage in your life?
Yes, thank you. Well, one of the ways as a mother that I've lacked courage in this situation with him, I believe there is some mental illness. And conversations that I have, just they don't make sense and haven't for a long time. I tried to have him to seek counseling early at the onslaught of this, and he refused. And so it's just been really a nightmare. Myself and his older brother, I can't begin to tell you.
Okay.
This.
And then where's his dad, Linda? Where's his dad?
His father. Yes. No. His father and I have been divorced for over.
But where is his dad?
Years.
Where
is
his dad?
He's not present. I don't. Well, his father is in and out of peeking in his life and then kind of poofing, going away. I don't know where he lives or anything like that. He's saying he always lives out of state. It's just very.
Okay. So
not present.
Okay. So you have a peek and poof ex-husband, all right? He peeks in and poofs. He's gone. All right.
Yep.
All right, but here's the bottom line. You need to call him and tell him, look, we got a real problem. Your son is not doing well. And you
I've
need
done
to.
That, yes, I've done that over the years.
Well, I would continue to do it. I would continue to ask him to be involved. But, Linda, what you have to do is you have to get a team around you and even an interventionist.
Yes.
That can come help and speak into your young son's life. He's 36 years old. And in order to start the chapter two that Steve was talking about, something has to, some explosion has to take place. Not a bad one, just a good one that energizes him in a different direction. Alice, I'm looking
She's
for your thoughts,
also.
Too.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Alice?
Linda, that team that Mylan is referring to will need to help you decipher what are you so afraid will happen if you start to both require and take more action if your son continues to refuse to do what would be good and right for him to do. Because you have some legitimate fear in you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to say something?
Yes, thank you. And you're right. I've tried that. I've tried to let it go and just let him be on his own. I was engaged before, and the relationship ended partly because of this situation. And not, so he would live in the parks. He would call me. Let me charge my phone. I would wait for him. I would go drive to the park.
He's been homeless at times.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Yes. I've led him to try and see if somehow that would trigger him to want something better. That didn't work.
Are you afraid that if you put requirements forth again that he will return to homelessness and substance use?
Yeah, of course, yes. His friends all leave him. They love him, but when they find out he's just odd, there's nothing that they can do, and he's had so much support from so many people.
Yeah.
In the community.
What should she do, Alice?
I'm afraid that he'll...
So there are a couple of steps I would like you to take, because you'll need to readdress with him that I need for you to go to treatment. And if you still refuse to go to treatment, I'm going to be working with a therapist to figure out what in my behavior will change, because my resources will be available to you if you're willing to get the help. And then you, with your clinician, Linda, start to step by step withhold some of the privileges under your roof, such as internet, such as television, such as a cell phone. Withhold those privileges because you're the one paying for them.
He hasn't had a phone in over a year. I refuse.
Okay.
No.
I think, because we got to go to break, I think you need to say to him, look, I was sensitive to you not wanting counseling in the beginning, but we're still here, and so here's the appointment. Come with me. We're going to both go to this first session. What else, Alice?
Well, Adult Protective Services may also need to be involved, because if he does have a severe mental illness, or if he has a disability that's keeping him from the self-care he needs to engage in, then a social worker might need to be brought in to evaluate that so that there can be some, even perhaps legal requirements put forth to care for him.
Yeah. So we're pulling for you, really hoping that you'll get the resource that you need. We'll take a break. Come right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Everybody here has a role in us getting to do what we're doing, and we love it. We love transformation. three words when we started this ministry. Truth, the way God intended it to be understood. Transformation and connection, which is redemptive relationship. And Larry has worked so hard over the years to be sure we have the support we need. And I've never seen anybody that loves the results of these workshops more than you, Larry. And I'm thinking you might have another testimony for us today.
Yeah, I've got a page full I could read from. I want to do a brief testimony of something that I heard and know has happened.
Okay.
There was a lady that went to Restore, and she and her husband, he's had a 40-year porn addiction, and she was just so upset at him, at God. She just didn't understand things. I spoke at the very end of Restore, and she came up to see me, and I encouraged her, as did Rhonda. She had spent a lot of time with Rhonda, and to get her husband to Every Man's Battle, and he went.
Yeah.
And I met him there, and a couple months later, Rhonda was talking to her, and she said, they are living together again. He is a different man.
Wow.
He loves her. He's apologizing. He's caring for her feelings. All the things that you want to have happen in a marriage. And they still have work to do. It's not a done deal.
Right.
But that's why I love what happens at New Life. Results are real. They're not just a high that people get down and dirty, get working. He's in sustained victory. She's in sustained healing. It's just
it's so good.
Good stuff. So I just want to encourage folks, come to these workshops. Support what we do at these workshops. It makes a difference. It's alive, real people that are experiencing this transformation.
Yeah. And that is the difference in us and some other groups. We're a transformation ministry. We want to see somebody going one way, and then after we are privileged to work with them, they're headed a different way. Not everything changes, but the direction changes. And better on top of better on top of better becomes a totally different life. What else, Larry, do you want to share with us?
Real quickly, I know we got a call to go, but a lady at church yesterday, haven't seen her for quite a few years, and she came up to me and was sharing what this radio program meant to her. She said, I hear you on radio. I said, oh, you listen, yeah. And she started tearing up just talking about how she learned to think differently, how her life is different because she listens to radio.
Your support,
folks, will go towards us continuing this radio program that's making a difference. So thank you.
Yes, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us. If you're looking on YouTube, you can see when you join Club New Life, there's a wonderful bag for the beach there. There's our one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional. There's a Life Recovery Bible. There's other things there that I can't even see. Larry, what else is in that stack?
We got this pen.
We have a pen, yes.
We got a journal.
Yeah. And the pen can work right there
journal. There's the Bible.
All right, so we want to say thank you. $30 a month to be Club New Life, and when maybe you just have a one-time gift, we can send you Daniel Amen's Conquering Worry and Anxiety. Thank you, Larry, for all you do. Thanks for that great story of transformation. Appreciate that. All right, let's go back to the phones, and how about we talk to Jesse, Boston, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. Hey, Jesse, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. How could we help?
So, one of the things that stood out to me during your commercial was, because I enjoy your show too, everything is great topics. There's something, if something's wrong with me, so right now I'm in a place of isolation. I feel shame. But when you said shame in the sense of me feeling that there's something wrong with me, it just clicked for me. So, but it has compromised a lot of my relationships and as a mom too. So, it's just mostly shame. And I want to say...
What is the source of that shame? Is that something that happened to you? Something you did? What do you think?
Just decisions that I've made over, I'm 38 now, and over the years I've made some decisions but that I'm not very proud of, but I've always felt like I've overcame them.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like I just can't move on from them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Stuck in that shame, can't move on. Alice, you have a thought here?
Can't move on.
Jesse, what is that negative belief that you have about yourself, that I am what? What's the self-accusation?
Will I start projects, or I might start school, or I might go on, even go on to church or a spiritual healing or anything that makes me be better, right? To me, I'm always like, let's be better each day. I always end up going back to this isolation where I live with my 17-year-old daughter, so I see a lot of her in me.
And Jesse, what do you tell yourself is wrong with you? Whether it's, I'm a failure, I'm a screw-up, I'm never going to get this right.
What's wrong with me? Literally, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I complete these projects? Why can't I have a clear mind? Why is it that I have so many ideas I don't put into place?
So
why can I get out of my house or even speak to people? I love people. Like, I'm able to, I can see somebody. I just show love. Like, I feel love, but I can't have a conversation, or I can't.
And Jesse,
on my part,
Jesse, your lack of follow through is probably fueled by that shame that you identified. And there may be some lack of maturity in some areas of your life that also stop you from the process of follow-through. The solution to that tends to be grieving the decisions that we've made that we're ashamed of in relationship with compassionate, understanding people, perhaps with a therapist, but also learning the mechanics of accountability so that we start to follow through. And we've got to get strength from outside of us to be able to improve in that. And it comes from relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesse, are you having a hard time leaving the house?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a hard time leaving your house?
Yes, I have days that I'm, like for today, like I haven't left the house. But yeah, I have days that I'm like really on a high and I can be able to run errands and do things. But there's small errands.
Okay, so...
They're not like home.
So there's a lot of fear inside of you, Jesse. A fear of failure, a fear of not being up to par. Now, our show is almost over, but I really want to encourage you to find a therapist who can really help you, and perhaps the right medications also could lift you up from this place where you are depressed, anxious, and sedentary and isolated. And those are signs of depression, and depression and anxiety go very much hand in hand. And I would just say you really need to find a good Christian therapist who can help you with that.
So often we feel hopeless in isolation, and then one phone call like this, connecting to somebody that we're going to try to connect you with off the air, and things start to get better. In isolation, we just tend to get worse. If you want to get better, it's 1-800 New Life. Call.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.